description. Oh, that back up. Marvelous. Oh, words. She hit it back up. Too wonderful for comprehension. She does. But nothing ever seen. Depths of your love, you are beautiful beyond description. Oh yes, she did it back up, back up. Oh, she did it back up, she did it back up. Oh, she did it back up. Rika did it back up, she did it back up, she did it back up. She did it, did it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we stand in presence, in your presence, O God. May your name be praised and be adored. You are glorified, you are holy. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, praise God. I trust that God is keeping you well. And God has watched over us and that you're welcome. Indeed, for another morning of looking at God's word. And by the grace of God, we shall start looking at the word. And we've been learning and we've been going through the book of Acts. And in retrospect, we're looking at how the scriptures describes witnesses and looks at the disciples, looks at the apostles, look at the early church, and how God made them witnesses of Christ and witnesses for Christ. And we've been saying that there are two types of witnesses. There's the human witness and there's the divine witness. And the human witness is what the disciples were doing. It's what the church was doing. They were proclaiming that Jesus Christ, the one whom you crucified, is resurrected. He is alive. And he is the reason by whom that we are performing these signs and miracles, and he is the one that has enabled us. And of course, God now gave his witness of the gospel, of the truth that they are confessing. He gave the witness that, and this was through the signs, miracles, and wonders. And yesterday we were looking at Acts chapter 5, and we saw how crowds came from all the villages around Jerusalem. They brought their sick and those who were possessed by evil spirits, and the Bible says that they were all were healed. And you know, they were bringing them just to on the streets and putting them just so that Peter's shadow, at least Peter's shadow, might pass over them. And you see, the Bible says when Peter passed on there, his shadow was healing the people. But you see, whenever we do great things for God, whenever we are committed to the things of God, it does not go without opposition. It does not go without jealousy, because you can see the Bible tells us, and we're going this way, we're going to read from verse 17. The Bible says, Acts chapter 5 from verse 17, if you're with me, it says, then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. This means they were filled with jealousy. And remember, the sect of the Sadducees were those who did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in the resurrection. But remember, Jesus told them that, I mean, you just don't know the scriptures. If you are not believing in the resurrection, then how can you say that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Then that means, and this one, they are alive. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive. And he was telling them, so he is the God of the living and not the dead. So Jesus told them that, but they still did not accept. They kept on sticking to their faith. And you can see now, this is the sect of the Sadducees. Why? Because Jesus was preaching, the disciples were preaching of the resurrection. And the Bible says in verse 18, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the rewards of this life. Now, verse 21, it says, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called to the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told them, saying, the prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without, outside, before, without, before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Look at that. And then now when the high priests and the captains of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of where this thing will grow to. Then came one of them and saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with all your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree, him that God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give us repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses. Keywords, I love those, the use of the word witness. Witness is used so much in the book of Acts because it is a testimony. We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. So you see, he's saying, we are witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost is also a witness to these things, and the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Look at the wickedness of people. Instead of being cut to the heart to repent, they are cut to the heart and they take a decision to kill them. Then stood there one up in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. And remember, this Gamaliel is the one who was a teacher of Saul. Yeah? Saul, who later became Paul. He said he studied under the tutelage of Gamaliel, and he was a doctor. He was a scholar. He was a top scholar and a respected scholar of the law. And this is the law of Moses. And the Bible says, and the Pharisee, so he was also part of the council, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, and had reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. They were told to go outside. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed for yourselves what you intend to do as touching this man. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, and who, once he was killed, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to nothing. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, and he also perished, and also even as many obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from this man, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it would be brought to nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. You might even find yourselves fighting against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they flogged them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy of joining in the suffering. They were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Now I want us to look at what was happening. God has done such a great miracle to this church, and people are being healed. People, even Peter's shadow, great mighty miracles are taking place. And then the Sadducees and the Pharisees become jealous. They arrest them. One of the things that is interesting is that the angel comes to open the doors of the prison, takes them out, and then tells them, go and declare these words of life. God translates them. He translocates them. He just like moves them spiritually from inside the prison. He brings them outside. And the Bible says when they heard, what did they hear? They just heard, go and declare these words of life. Go and preach these words of life. The scriptures tell us the angels opened the door, but you see, he opened it spiritually, but in the physical, the door remained closed. Why? Because when the soldiers came, the jailers came, they came to open the door. They found the soldiers outside, guarding properly. The locks were in place, but they went inside, they found no person inside. And remember, they were expecting to find Peter and the apostles. But oh no, they have no idea why. Because the Holy Spirit has already rescued them, sent an angel to rescue them. And so they decide to go and arrest them. But now, because they know the people are greatly honoring these people, they arrest them gently. Otherwise, they would have been stoned by the people. And when they arrest them, then they ask them, you people, did we not warn you not to speak in this name? Now you want to bring the blood of this man on us. I wonder why they were asking why the blood of this man is being brought on them. Yet, remember when they were facing Pilate and he said he has nothing to do with him. He has nothing to do with him. This man's blood is on you. And they said, yes, let his blood be on us and our children. And you remember, that's what the Israelites said. That's what the Jewish leaders said. They said that let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And yet now it was being brought upon them. When they mean that, they have now, the judgment that was supposed to fall because of their death, what they did to kill an innocent man, was going to come upon them. And for sure, judgment came to Jerusalem, because I think it's in AD 70 where Jerusalem was destroyed and the last temple was destroyed. Even to date, that temple remains destroyed. And they faced the judgment because no single stone was left upon another. That's why they said they asked for the judgment, and now it was placed on them. But you see, as they told them to not speak in the word of God, in the name of God, what did the disciples answer? They say, you decide for yourself. Is it better that we obey human beings or we obey God? Because God has just communicated to them and just woke them up and told them, go and declare, go and preach these words of life. They were given a command, preach, preach, and the Holy Spirit bore witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ through the signs, miracles, and wonders. And this witness, as you can see, witness is twofold. They had to witness, and when you witness, then the Holy Spirit also witnesses the gospel. So the Holy Spirit also witnesses the gospel. And as they witnessed, okay, just a minute, let me check. Okay, I'm assuming there's internet, but anyway, we can go ahead. So they witnessed the gospel, and as they witnessed the gospel, God confirmed it with signs, miracles, and wonders. God confirmed it with signs, miracles, and wonders. So, behold, the Bible says, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing out. They were asked, then Peter and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. And verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince, to be a captain, to be, you know, to be in charge, and put him and a savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And the Bible says, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. So the witness of the resurrection of Christ that we have today is the witness of the Spirit of God in us, the witness of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are indeed children of God. The Spirit of God testifies with our spirits that we are the children of God. And even though they were cut to the heart, instead of confessing, instead of repenting, they take a decision to kill them. You see, truth can be bitter many times. When people receive the truth, when people, the truth is spoken to them, instead of accepting the truth, you will find that many people will either have two choices. They will either accept it or reject it. And those who reject it, they reject it with so much bitterness. So anytime you share the gospel, expect these two reactions. There are those who will accept it, and there are also those who will reject it. And when they reject it, they will be violent. And you can see what happens is that they decided to arrest them, to beat them, and they were sure they wanted to kill them. But look at the counsel of the wise man. And I believe this is the counsel. He spoke with the voice of God, because he said, he told them, look here, in the past, we have had this and so people. Thaddeus was there. He rose. I remember that time they were looking for deliverance. They were looking for, they were under Roman rule. So they wanted someone who would rise up, who would, you know, rescue them. And that's why they expected Jesus to be a kind of ruler that is, that is a political ruler. That's what they were expecting. But you see, Jesus was not a political ruler. Jesus came in to establish a spiritual kingdom. And so they say Thaddeus was there. People gathered around them. And within no time, he was killed and his people scattered. Likewise also, Judas arose in the days of the taxing. He died and his people were dispersed. And of course, in this time, they also were speaking of Jesus. Jesus was there. He had his disciples and they killed him. Yes, at that time when they arrested him, the disciples dispersed. But now they had the Holy Spirit with them. Jesus had come back to them through the Holy Spirit, and he was working in them. And that's why they say that, look at these guys. If what they are doing is of God, I assure you, you will not be able to stop it. I tell you, when whatever you're doing is of God, whenever whatever you're doing in the gospel, whether it is work, whether it is your job, whether it's your business, whether it is your ministry, as long as it is of God, as long as it was sent of God, as long as you know for sure you've not sent yourself, you're not doing it out of just profit, out of your own self, but you know that you are called and sent of God, it will grow and no one will be able to stop it. You know, I declare, I can tell you that the Lord is faithful. As long as the God who has called you is faithful, and he will make sure to see you to the end. The Bible tells us that he that began the good work in us shall be faithful to complete it until the end. You must be assured. You must be confident. You must look at things how they are and know that it is God. It is God that started. And you can see this Gamaliel had to prophesy for them. He had to prophesy. He had to say, you see, if this be of God, no matter how you try, you cannot stop it. And if you're trying to stop it, you will even find that you're fighting against God. Maybe you've been facing opposition, but if you are called of God, if you know that you are a child of God, you have the Spirit of God within you, they're fighting against God. And anyone that fights against God will never win. Why? Because no one can defeat God. The Bible tells us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you face challenges, when you face whatever situations, I can assure you, you need to respond to them and just say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Why? Because the one that is in you has overcome the world. The one who is in you is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. He is the one that is in charge. He is the one that rules. He is the one that is more than a conqueror. Our God is more than able. Our God is more than enough. So they decided, sure, we'll not kill them, but let's beat them. But look at how the disciples said. They say they rejoiced. I don't know how many are willing to rejoice in being canned, willing to rejoice in suffering for the gospel. The gospel has its message, and its message is a double-edged sword. Once it comes, it cuts to the heart, and those that are cut will either respond by accepting repentance or by rejecting. And when they reject, they can inflict suffering. And this suffering comes as a result of the word. Remember, Jesus told his disciple, when he was preaching the word, the parable of the sower, he said, when persecution comes as a result of the word, the persecution comes to test the word. Yes, you have believed. But when persecution comes, it is coming to test that word of God. Have you really believed it? Have you truly believed it? And yes, you're speaking the truth, yes, but we don't accept it and we don't want you here. And that is how they behave. That is how they react. But God. The disciples rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the gospel. The Bible tells us if we suffer, we should not be suffering for doing wrong. We should not be suffering as criminals. We should not be suffering as those who have sinned. But it is better that we suffer for the gospel. It is better that we suffer for doing what is right. When we suffer for doing what is right, then we receive the blessing of God. It is better, or rather it is a blessed, it's an honorable thing if you suffer for the gospel. But you should not suffer as a criminal or someone who has done wickedness, but you should suffer as for the gospel, then you are counted worthy. Remember how even Paul was saying that I bear in me, from now on, let no one disturb me, because I bear the marks of Christ. I have suffered for the gospel. I have gone through all these challenges for the gospel. So I am counted worthy among those who can speak. So let no one trouble me. How many desire, or how many are willing to share in the fellowship of the suffering of Christ? When Paul says that, I want to know Christ and I want to know the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. Think of even, the Bible says Noah was distressed in his righteous soul by the wickedness of people. There's also that emotional suffering. When you see people are suffering in pain, people are lost in immorality, people are lost in sin, and your heart is grieved. That is also a burden that you can bear for the gospel. And such burdens are the burdens of Christ, because God desires that all men be saved. The heart of God is that every man be saved, and the heart of God cries out that men be saved. Men come to truth. Let me show myself. Let me reveal myself. Come back to me. That is the heart of God. God does not desire any man perish. And that's why someone will think, but why is God delaying? Why is God not punishing these people? It's because God desires that all men be saved. He is not slow, as we understand slowness. He empathizes with us. We do not have a high priest who has not gone through the hell, who has not suffered, who has not suffered in every way, who has not been tempted in every way, just as we are. And yet he was found, not found with sin. That is the high priest that we have. That is the King of glory that we have, that we follow, that we obey, that we believe in. He is the King of glory. The Bible says, daily in the temple and in every house, they continued to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Facing persecution, continue to proclaim Christ. Continue to stand in the gap. Continue to be a vessel. Continue to be obedient to that call that God sent you. Remember, the angel told them, go and speak to these people the very words of life. That is the answer that we have to persecution. That is the answer that we have to rejection. That is the answer that we have to suffering. We must carry on preaching and declaring Jesus Christ. The Bible says they grew. They continued to grow. And God continually added to their number. And God will add to our numbers. God will add to our increase. God will add to those things that are around us. God will add everything that we desire of him, as long as we are faithful and obedient to the call of God that he has called us to do. I pray that even as we finish, that Lord will speak to us and will give us his grace in all things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this devotion this morning that you've given us, O God, as we look at these disciples of Jesus who were arrested, and you sent forth your angel to the prison. And this is not even another time. You did the same for Peter when he was arrested, and you just sent your angel and you walked him out of the prison. And likewise, another time they are arrested and you send forth your angels, you open the doors, they come out, and you shut the door as they were, no one seeing anything, and you do such mighty miracles. Because Father, you are able to rescue your people. You are able to rescue your people from the claws of darkness, from the snatches of the enemy, O God. You are able to snatch them, O God, from the hand of the evil one, O God. And Father, I thank you for your people who today are going through such challenges, O God, such persecution, such suffering, O God. Those that are in prison, O God, for the sake of the gospel, that you are able to send forth your angel this morning to rescue them from the pit of hell, O God, to rescue them from the prisons of the enemy, O God, and to set them free, O God. And I pray for your servants who are boldly declaring the word of truth, O God, the word that is from above, O God, that you are able to speak a word in their lives. Give them the courage, give them the boldness to continue to declare the words of life, O God. And beyond that, O God, I pray that for the witness of the Holy Spirit, O God, that you have promised to each and every one of us a witness of your resurrection, O God. And Lord, you are alive and you will live in us today, O God. And I pray that, Lord, everyone that's listening, O God, that, Lord, indeed your hand shall be upon them. I rebuke sickness in the name of Jesus. I come against all attacks of the evil one in dreams, in thoughts, in character, O God, in issues of the workplace, in issues in business, O God, in wherever they're doing, O God, in their homes, in their relatives, O God. I pray that the peace of Christ shall reign in their lives, O God. You are able to do a new thing, because nothing is impossible with you, O God. We look unto you. You are faithful, you are holy, and there's no one else like you, God. Go ahead of us, keep us, sustain us, and watch over us, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Have a blessed, blessed day, and the Lord watch over you. Shalom.